Welcome to The Business Behind Your Business, the podcast where we delve into the financial strategies and insights that drive success for small and medium-sized business owners. I'm your host, Paul Sweeney, and in each episode, we bring you expert guests who share practical advice, real-world experiences, and actionable tips to empower you on your business journey. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just starting out, get ready to uncover the secrets to success and gain valuable insights into the business behind your business. So today we're going to be talking to Jim Mills, who's the Managing Director of Merit Planning. And Jim is recognized as an expert in this field, has over 20 years of experience in the financial services industry. And Jim, you'll gather this from hearing him speak. And if you haven't already heard him, go back and listen to some of the previous episodes we've recorded with Jim. But Jim is extremely passionate about connecting clients with the best strategies and opportunities for them in their financial journey. But one of the things we love about Jim is that he gets the best results by collaborating with accountants. And we've seen some great results where we've worked closely with Jim. So this is another story about how we can actually get the best results by getting advice from more than one angle to get you the best result. I love working with Jim. And look, today, we're going to tackle this subject, which is causing a lot of nervousness around for business owners, just nervousness in general about what is going to happen. And there's a lot of uncertainty around. We're still in this state of flux, I think, from coming out of COVID, a lot of uncertainty. So the question for Jim, and put him on the spot here, but Jim, how are we going to navigate all of this uncertainty?
Mate, a very important component of navigating uncertainty is to be really clear where that message of uncertainty is coming from. So towards the end of last year, so December 23, if you hadn't gotten a tattoo saying that the US was about to go into recession, then apparently you weren't watching the right economists or news headings and cycles and whatnot. But in fact, the performance of the US economy and the GDP growth shows that it's nowhere near recession. Now, maybe a part of that had to do with the Biden CHIPS Act and the Green Energy Act they put through towards the end of last year, something like an extra $400 billion worth of expenditure over the next sort of 20 years is going to be injected into the American economy as a result. And as a result of those acts passing, the GDP of America seems to remain to be strong. But then the question is, well, isn't that just more debt? Aren't they just printing money? And the reality is that as long as those investments that they're making return higher than the interest rate that the debt is applied to, then that actually results in economic growth as well. So, there's a lot to consider in terms of headlines and doom and gloom and that type of thing. Certainly, too, we've seen interest rates climb to the highest point. We've seen them climb in such a short period of time ever. But if you talk to some of our older clients, they'll let you know all about the 18% days, of course. However, in our day and age with interest rates so high, it's around about now that people are starting to feel that pinch. So in terms of navigation, it's really important to understand where we're at. I think post-COVID, economy's shutting down, shipping routes being absolutely jammed and shut down, and massive delays, the issue with supply and demand, the inflation that then rocketed up, resulted in a lot of people feeling pretty rockety. And, it seems it only happened yesterday, Paul, but I think it's nearly been 2 or 3 years since that's occurred.
Oh, absolutely. So we think back to February 2020 was when we were having these first conversations about a lockdown happening in Sydney. And we were sort of thinking, well, hang on, they're going a bit on the overreacting side here, but it wasn't very long. It was March and we were in our first lockdown. But there's been this, our observation is there's this long tail effect that has come from it. It's like you have that cold, but you just can't get rid of that cough, that nagging
absolutely.
cough.
Absolutely.
And, And look, there's so much uncertainty, so many world events going on. But the other thing I think we have to remember is that going into COVID, we were coming out of drought and flood and bushfire.
Absolutely.
So small, medium businesses were coppering and battering even before COVID. So 100%. A lot of uncertainty still. And how do we recover?
Interest rates being that high, bank finance is one of the things that stops immediately. Property development certainly stops. I mean, the cash rate rising, as well as affecting sort of mum and dad mortgage holders. You know, if you had $1 million mortgage, you know, your repayments increase from something like $60,000 to $80,000. You're basically $20,000 net out of your expenditure. But that also slowed down a lot of business investment as well. So, you know, it's funny because, As you very well introduced the word navigation, it really is navigation, because when you look at any particular set of economic conditions, there are always going to be opportunities and places to tread carefully. So we're at a really interesting point in time where over the next 12 to 18 months, in an environment now that will be a declining cash rate, we will see an amazing capital recovery of something so safe like government bonds to the tune of maybe 20%, if I'm being conservative, over the next 12 to 18 months, whilst this thing is paying around about 4.5%. Now, that's an example of when not to be in bonds, when interest rates are going up. And now it's an example of navigating back towards that market as interest rates come down. And if we look at the evidence of that occurring, the annualized quarterly inflation rate in America has dropped from 8.1% down to 1.9%. You could say that's a crashing down in inflation. Now, America will hold the line for a period of time. They met on the 19th of March 24, just recently. They didn't announce any decreases to the cash rate. We think they'll probably hold the line for a couple more meetings, and then the first cash rate drop will be announced in the US. Now, generally, Australia follows around about 3 to 5 months thereafter with about an 80% correlation, okay? So we know that we're now moving and we have to now navigate to a different economic expectation of instead of interest rates increasing, of them decreasing in over a period of time. So we think we'll see at least a couple of cash rate drops this calendar year. And then we'll see a further bunch of drops into the new 2025. So within 12 to 18 months, we're probably looking at something like a 2% cash rate drop. That represents a whole lot of opportunity for the right type of businesses invest in.
So you mentioned opportunities, and I love the way of talking about opportunities, because there's an opportunity in every situation. But with the rates coming down, what are some of the opportunities that you see for small, medium business owners to take advantage of?
Sure. Well, an important one is, and this is really important to remember, the market generally prices in expectations around about 9 months ahead of the actual event occurring. So in terms of an interest rate drop, that could be a slow sort of bleed in terms of economic impact, or it could be an overnight impact. Because if we look at the world right now, there's a whole heap of things occurring, right? Small to medium business owners, like, you know, we work hard, we represent the backbone of this country, and frankly, I think we should be given many more concessions by our government than we're offered. You know, when you understand that we are 98% of all businesses in Australia, we actually employ 4.7 million people, which is 41%. Of the private sector employment in Australia. I mean, we are the absolute economic backbone of this country, and the more concession that we get allows us to employ more people and to look at more profitable opportunities to create a greater GDP for this country. So, in terms of that, you know, that's something that I'm very, very passionate about. But in terms of small business getting ahead, we have to be able to extract our wealth from our businesses along the journey, or at the end of the journey, what we will have had is had something that was a really good income for us and gave us good lifestyle along the way, but not allowed us to actually extract wealth and grow it effectively. So it's not just where to invest, it's how to extract that wealth out of these operating businesses in the most tax-effective manner. you know, and utilizing the different structures that are available to us in this country, navigating through all of the legislative and tax barriers that are placed in front of us. However, if you know that the crystal ball is fairly clear at this point, but it is a crystal ball, interest rates coming down is going to prop up the property market. Now, we've seen, and I'm talking residential investment property, even business units, we've already seen in some of our smaller real estate investment trusts, we've already seen them peak in terms of their performance, because the market has already factored in an expectation of dropping interest rates into some of those companies. An example is HomeCo. So if you're familiar with some of the local Home Depot kind of shopping centres where you get your furniture, you get your haircut, go and pick up some stationery, that type of thing. That's generally a HomeCo centre. That has peaked at an excellent return, around about 40% up, and paying around about a 7.5% dividend yield. Okay, so if we've missed that boat, where else is the opportunity? And if we look across the world, we see some pretty clear things that are sticking out. First of all, the prospect of war is scary. When we look at the horrible things that are happening in the Middle East, we know that there's horrible things happening in the Ukraine and seemingly conflict all over the world. There's been studies done to show, and this is really, really sad, that after the outbreak of war, there's an immediate drop in markets all across the world for anywhere between 30 to 60%, and then gradually it comes back up to a new market high in around about 10 months after the initial outbreak. So, look, war is horrible, debilitating, and senseless in this day and age, but it's pretty good for investments. So in terms of navigating that, it's about getting investments that are well priced right now as a result also of us just going through that massive hike in cash rates. So Europe right now is ultra, ultra, ultra cheap. As soon as there's a smell of conflict in Ukraine sort of being resolved, there's a good 30 to 50% increase in some of those companies that we would want access to. In Australia, if you're investing overseas, for overseas exposure, you generally invest in things like listed investment companies. Another sector that is massively underperformed in a rising interest rate environment was the small cap sector. So we do expect there to be some standouts in the small cap sector, and we're looking at different listed investment companies with a smaller handful of exposure to things like commodities and energy stocks. So we know that there's been a glut of oil from the Saudis. We know that pretty much now we're expecting an energy boom in certain stocks. So we've been looking with interest at Centos, Aurora, those types of companies to take part in what we expect to be an energy boom imminent. After March this year, we think we'll see a rebound in commodities. So commodities being priced in US dollars. And as the cash rate drops and the US dollar drops, our commodities priced in US dollars should see a greater level of export. So then back to our coal and our major exports and companies like BHP, South 32, and mineral resources. So that's been of interest. Now, as interest rates drop and money returns back to people's pockets, and don't forget markets price these things in a good, you know, 9 months ahead of anything actually happening, the travel sector should get a nice little rev along as well. If we look at industry right now that is exceptionally cheap, we can see that the health sector is in such. And again, this is directly related to a COVID outcome. As we got to around about 90%, 98% inoculation with the vaccine, a lot of that recurring revenue that we thought we'd see in the health sector, we thought would drop away and then be resulting in a poor-looking balance sheet or profit and loss. And that has occurred, but in fact, we see that there's a huge amount of profitability in these businesses and they're just running really cheap. We think the banks have peaked out in terms of good capital value. So we're trimming banks at the moment. But, I mean, the dividends coming out of banks are absolutely beautiful at 7 and 8%. So there's opportunity to participate in those types of markets as well. So in terms of where we're concentrating at the moment, we're now really looking at a falling interest rate environment, understanding the impact that has on individual sectors across the marketplace, and applying our opportunity to tax effectively invest in those particular markets with our clients. Of course, that means we look at superannuation strategy, we look at investing in bucket companies, we look at investing in different types of unit trusts and family discretionary trusts and those types of opportunities, to overlay investment advice with tax and strategy advice, and overlay that again with legislative advice in terms of how all of the different intricacies of something like superannuation works in line with wealth creation overall for our client base. So it's an extremely interesting time, and at any time in history, there's always been something happening that promotes a sense of uneasiness in markets or a misunderstanding of what might be coming up next. It wasn't so long ago we were worried about North Korea shooting missiles. That was a big topic of conversation quite a few years ago now. Now we're heading towards American elections towards the end of the year with a falling interest rate, and with that, a strengthening Aussie dollar, and the impact of that on different components of the market is plain to see as well. So, look, it can be daunting, but with education, with the right partner, and with the right guidance, you know, people can make the right decisions and maximize opportunities in what seems to be rocky sea.
So, Jim, given the historical backdrop of the market uneasiness that you've highlighted, including those recent events, and we're talking about American elections as being one of those major influences, as well as the currency fluctuations we're going to encounter, what potential opportunities do you foresee for our business owners to capitalize on these things with all the challenges they're facing? You know, what are the opportunities directly in their business and maybe outside of their business in their wealth creation strategy?
Okay, so opportunities in investing is pretty clear. Market is bound with different sectors. As I mentioned, government bonds are a really interesting opportunity, and I think it's a time in history where we're going to see those rates drop again, because now that inflation's done what it's supposed to do, the rising cash rate has done what it's supposed to do in terms of cooling markets and cooling spending. It now means that we're flipping into that next gear. So government bonds, floating bank interest notes are of interest, and there's different sectors in the overall ASX, including exposure to different sectors across the world as things continue to change. And so the opportunity is to look for market segments that will now perform in that shifting environment. However, the opportunity then comes to small business owners of how to actually extract that wealth from your business and how to actually make it work for you. I think the danger for small business owners is to work so diligently and hard, as we all do, on what we're specialists in. So you will run your business and you will do everything you can to look after your staff and be profitable and look for innovation. But at the end of the day, 40 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later, what have you got to show for it in your personal wealth accumulation, or wealth accumulation that allows for you to passively generate income so that you can eventually retire? Okay. Obviously, a major opportunity in this country is to look at superannuation. As of the 1st of July 24, the concessional contribution caps have increased to $30,000 from $27,500. So that's one thing we can get a little bit more in. But, you know, the contribution caps are there for a reason. It's because it's the most tax-effective way for us to build wealth possible. However, it's locked up, isn't it, until we're age 60 and fully retired, or over age 65 and still working, when we can actually implement pension phase by means of an account-based pension up to the pension balance cap of $1.9 million per member to be caught in that beautiful tax-effective environment with zero tax on earnings, no capital gains tax on the sale of assets, and no marginal tax on any income you draw from the fund to satisfy your retirement lifestyle. So where are you at along the journey? Are you close enough to age 65 to start concentrating on wealth build in superannuation? Are you close enough, or are you so far away from it that age 60 seems like another dimensional place? And how will you structure yourself then? Because the truth is, my modeling for thousands, tens of thousands over the years of people that I've spoken to shows that if all you do is work to take out a salary, if all you do is pay the minimum levels that you need to pay into your superannuation, and if all you do is use your after-tax income to pay down your mortgage debt and spend the rest on lifestyle expenses, if that is the trap that you're in, you'll get to the finish line and you won't have enough sitting in your superannuation to save you from a deficit position. I found, in general, people over the lifetime who concentrate on building wealth in that way find themselves about one third short of what they actually need in order to support themselves comfortably in retirement. And, you know, Patch, we work so damn hard. You want to make sure that you've got the right guidance along the way to direct your money in the right direction, okay? So, look, concessional contributions are great because they allow you to build your superannuation fund tax effectively, and the business gets a deduction for it. That's fantastic. The other component there that people should be thinking about is the five-year carry forward concessional contribution rule that I believe began on 1 July 2019. So this is allowed that if you haven't paid the maximum in your concessional contributions for up to 5 years in the past, you're able to take that contribution and use it for a greater concessional contribution in any financial year. When to use that? In the years you want to be able to reduce your income because you're perhaps combating a capital gains tax bill. Okay, so there are different times that different strategy might make more sense. So let's assume you bought a property for $500,000 and it's now worth $1 million. The capital gains $500,000. You've had it for 12 months. We'll cut the gain in half of that concession to $250,000, and it's now going on your married. You own the assets with a partner, so $125,000 each is going to be going onto your taxable income. How do I reduce my taxable income for the year? And being able to utilize past carry forward concessional contributions is something that we've been looking at as well. When you're thinking about extracting profit from your business, what manner are you doing that? There's a bunch of different strategy that may or may not be appropriate for you. And without the guidance from your accountant and your planner, you know, you're not getting the very best potential advice as to what's appropriate for you. Should you be extracting your dividends out as fully franked dividends and accumulating wealth that way, still attracting some level of tax? Should profits be sitting in a bucket company and continuing to build wealth in that way? Is there a better way for you to implement expenses into an investment vehicle and have multiple beneficiaries or different shareholders that you can divert those profits to in different tax brackets? Is there different types of assets you could be considering? So you have to understand where you're at, what opportunities lay in front of you, what your business looks like, how you've been set up, what level of partnership you have with your accountant and with your advisor to be able to extract wealth in the most effective way and in the most relevant way for your personal situation, and then apply it against all of these different economic factors and be able to, with some level of certainty, build a portfolio that's got checks and balances in it in order for you to be able to build wealth as effectively as possible.
That's a wrap for this episode of The Business Behind Your Business. We hope you found today's discussion insightful and valuable for your business journey. Before we go, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. Share it with fellow business owners who could benefit, and send in your burning questions because we love hearing from you. Missed any of our previous episodes or looking for additional resources to help grow your business? Head over to our website at thebusinessbehindyourbusiness.com. There you'll find our full archive of past episodes along with show notes, transcripts, and links to valuable resources mentioned in each episode. Your journey to business success continues at thebusinessbehindyourbusiness.com. Until next time, stay inspired, stay informed, and keep building the business of your dreams.